Alrighty, welcome back everybody to the Trade Readers Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers, we read comics.
These are all facts. We only present the facts here, folks.
Thank you for tuning in, even though we've been canceled.
Wait, have we?
Yeah, Nathan's been canceled, but I gotta stick by him.
Oh, you shit, know? What did I do?
I gotta teach him to be better.
Oh, you know? No. Did I say slur again? Not again.
I forgot to bleep it out.
Wait, what happened?
What do you think you did?
Did I shit on or manga again?
Possibly.
I remember one guy got a little feisty on that, and I was like, be quiet.
Yeah, like literally, like sells like so much more than American stuff.
I don't give a shit about that.
I don't give a damn.
No, I don't know.
We weren't canceled, but what if it is by the time this comes out?
Maybe.
We're on top of it.
Maybe it blows up.
We got to address it.
Okay.
You know, here from our side.
I may or may not be sorry.
Just apologize, just in case.
I apologize.
Well, we got different time codes in our description. We got the book, which is Arcadia. We got Back Matter Matters in the poll list, but we start with the news. Got any news, Nathan?
Hot, stinky news, Daniel.
Hot, stinky news.
From today, as of recording, there is, we kind of knew this was coming from Mark Miller, but it's a Nemesis Forever 5-part series launching in August.
Mm.
It's going to be Mark Miller and Steve McNiven writing and Matteo Scalera on art. He's the guy that did Black Science.
Oh, okay.
He's really good. I like him.
Yeah, very good. Interesting.
But I think it was Miller and Steve McNiven that did Nemesis initially, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's not on the art for this one, but he's a part of it in some way, I guess.
Yeah, interesting. It's crazy that he was just like sitting on Nemesis for like 20 years, I think. And then now this is like the third run basically after.
Yeah, because there was the Jorge Jimenez one, right? Like 2 years ago, maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe longer.
Reloaded? Nemesis Reloaded or something?
Yeah.
And then there is like Rogues Gallery or something,
mm-hmm.
which had just come out like last year, I think.
Was Nemesis in that? Oh, yeah. Nemesis Rogues Gallery.
Yeah.
So another one of them.
Sure. I mean, if people like it, and
yeah, sure.
Seems to be going well. Hopefully no one mixes that up with the Rebel Moon spinoff comic from Titan Comics. Also a character named Nemesis.
Oh, yeah. don't want to mix those up.
Yeah.
I don't know which one I like the least. And I don't think I've read Nemesis. No, I read Nemesis the first one all the way through. It was fine.
No, you wouldn't. No, you didn't.
I think I did.
If you did, I would know.
No. It was like early.
Oh, okay.
Like early days. I wouldn't really remember anything from it, but I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Nathan, not really comics news, but Jenny Tartakovsky.
Oh, yeah. I love that guy.
Yeah. You know, he's a comics writer.
Yeah, he is.
Of Primal and...
Was Primal a comic?
Of Primal and Samurai Jack fame, you know?
Yep.
He's got a new show coming out. It's going to be an animated show about dogs.
Cool.
Yeah, it's called Fixed.
Oh, God. Okay. This sounds like the premise for a comedy.
It might be. It looks like kind of goofy.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
It's coming August 13th.
Because everything he's done has had like a lot of aura. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's been very like...
It's been very kind of intense.
Brutal. Violent. And dark. Yeah.
Yeah. Or, you know, yeah, pretty good. So it seems a little bit different from him, but I'm there.
Yeah.
I've been watching like Primal off and on, and it's so good.
Yeah. I keep seeing it. I'm like, I should get
it's
to
that. So sad sometimes too. And then I'm... You know, whatever. Have you watched that? His Star Wars animated movie?
Yeah.
It's great, isn't it?
It's very good.
Yeah.
I think I watched that and I'm like, why does this look so familiar? You know, and then I saw like him in the credits. I'm like, oh! I probably would have been like biased while I was watching it. Like,
yeah.
Would have liked it more.
Daniel, Grant Morrison's coming back to DC on a new Batman project.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Under wraps.
And we don't really know much about it, but he said in the interview, he's like, I don't have to do this. So if I was ever going to come back, it would have to be something like pretty interesting and special. And now he's coming back. So it must be one of those things.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
We should read his Batman someday.
Yeah. I've read a little bit of it.
Yeah.
Because he did some with Quietly. And
I think there's like only 3 issues with Quietly, which is kind of a bummer. And then it switches from there.
You know, Quietly is the kind of guy to launch something.
Yeah. I feel like. And
I don't know what the longest he's been on something is, but it can't be that long.
probably Jupiter's Legacy.
Was that 5 issues?
Yeah.
I think All-Star Superman feels like, a little bit
that
longer.
That was like 12, wasn't it? Yeah. That's like a hardcover.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Nathan, speaking of Frank Quitely.
What about him?
The pencil cover.
Oh, yeah, I saw
for
this.
All-Star Superman is up for sale.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys are in the market, it's going for $50,000.
Yep. Pretty big.
Good price.
You know, I would if I could. But the cover, it's funny because it's the cover is just like Superman kind of in the air. And there's like a lot of the actual cover has like a lot of color work that kind of goes into it because there's like sun behind
some shine behind it.
Yeah, it's like some shine or whatever. So, you know, it's not like you're getting a whole lot of detail necessarily. That's like covering the full entire page. But that doesn't matter.
I wonder how long it took to draw it, you know? Dude,
within 2 hours, for sure. Like, and
$25,000 an hour is the guy's rate.
But like, I think what sold for even a more ridiculous amount of money was the Frank Miller, like, Batman fucking Dark Knight Returns cover. And that doesn't even have details of Batman on it.
The shadow
one? He's in fucking silhouette.
That's crazy.
So that was for like over $1 million for sure.
That's nuts.
Yeah. So when I saw this, I was like, yeah, that makes sense.
It's a bargain. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. I'm like, yeah, scoop that up.
He's worth more.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And you know, like,
and with like
that's
Jim
like
Lee.
The titular like Batman story. This is what a lot of people I think would consider the titular Superman story. So I think it makes sense.
Is because what was Jim Lee's like rate? It was like $20,000 or something for a commission.
Oh yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't even consider even looking.
Something crazy like that.
Yeah. Which, I mean, he's in that spot too. So
yeah.
Who gives a shit?
Not really news, but I just thought that was interesting.
No, it is. It is interesting.
Nathan, you know Mad Cave Studios?
Vaguely.
They're going to be coming out with the Speed Racer series.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, coming July 30th, and it's going to have spinoffs and stuff. Mm-hmm. They're building like a American universe. I think the main line is going to be written by David Papozzi.
Oh, okay. I've seen him.
Yeah, he's doing like Space Ghost, and he's on like Captain Planet, I think.
Yep.
So a lot of those like franchise kind of books that are at these smaller publishers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's cool.
Oh, there's like a there's a Maul series coming out on Disney Plus. Like Star Wars Maul Shadow Lord is what it's called.
Wow.
That was released for Star Wars Celebration. Also, Ryan Gosling's going to be in Star Wars. I think it's kind of fun.
Yeah. I think there's still a possibility that like just doesn't get made.
It probably won't.
Because I think release date's like 2027.
Yeah, it's far away.
Maybe like they put it out there to get some excitement to make sure it gets done.
Right.
You know?
See what people's reaction levels are.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know.
Any Star Wars movie like being made seems just so like distant, you know?
Totally. It wouldn't happen until like 2028, I feel like, at least.
Right.
And
so it's
they'd
just
have
kind
to
of,
get on it like pretty soon, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So,
but
like you hear all kinds of shit. I'm like, yeah, we'll see, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's how I am with like just every kind of news, even Marvel and DC.
Yeah. A lot of movie or TV news, when it gets announced, it's like so far away. So it's like, who cares?
Yeah.
You just forget about it and then it'll be here.
That's basically what I've been doing.
It's a good strategy.
But anyway, Nathan, what book do we read this week?
We read Arcadia by Alex Pachnedel and Eric Scott Pfeiffer. This is a Boom Studios book, one that I had never really heard of, but we got a suggestion from a listener whose name is
Josiah.
Josiah.
He recommended it on YouTube, so shout out.
Shout out, Josiah. If you want to recommend something for us to read, feel free to leave us a comment or get in touch with us somehow. Stalk us. And tell us in person.
Yeah.
What did you think of this book, Daniel?
I love that we got a recommendation, but this was not for me.
I was lost.
And I did not know what was going on I think 100% of it.
Like, I was pretty lost the whole time. And like, I think the idea of it's really fun.
Yeah.
But I think the way that it's executed is like, there's a lot of plot lines to follow.
Right.
And some of those plot lines literally have the same person in them in different situations.
Yeah.
And then there are other characters that look like other characters, but they're not the same. And so I found myself getting confused a lot.
I just was like powering through and hoping that it made sense.
Yeah.
What was kind of shitty about that is that this was also long.
Yep.
It was like 200 pages, like 8 issues. Mm-hmm. And it was just like time consuming.
Yeah, definitely.
Like I didn't have time to read like other things. And that almost like makes me dislike this book more.
You know? I feel a bit of the same way.
It feels like a spin-off comic for a movie that we should have seen already.
Yeah.
With how much like context is missing.
They kind of throw a lot at you at once.
And there's not like the scenes don't really breathe. So it kind of jumps from thing to thing, from people to people. I'm like, I don't know these people.
Yeah.
And I really only caught on to like a few names, but I don't think it was like the important ones.
Yeah. Because they're throwing out names that it's like, we don't see that guy ever again. And it's kind of weird. So I think I like the artists on this. I think they do a really good job. But at the same time, there's elements that they introduced in the first issue that don't really carry on throughout the rest of the book.
Yeah.
And so I think the first issue is like pretty strong. I mean, you're kind of getting through a lot, which makes it tough.
Yeah.
But there are definitely like concepts in here that I thought were like pretty cool and unique and
sure.
could only exist in this book. But yeah, I agree that it's like, it's tough to follow.
It's just like so much talking and you don't really know what they're talking about a lot of the times. And
I agree.
Yeah, it was just, it was something.
Yeah, tough to follow.
Because like, I think it could be good, but like, because there's like so much talking, not that much action stuff or mm-hmm. anything that has the capability of being in a comic, you know, it's tough to just have it be a fully dialogue thing, you know?
Yeah, I think my main criticism is you could probably cut out like 2 plot lines out of this because there's like
couple issues.
There's a virtual world and then there's a physical world. And then each of those have like a B and C and D plot from what it feels like.
Yeah.
And they jump around like every 2 pages. So it's like, it's tough for me to get acclimated and like sink my teeth in, you know?
Yeah.
It feels like I'm sampling a bunch of things and I don't really understand any of it.
Yeah. I guess we'll just get into it then.
So we'll get into it. So basically the premise is there's a global pandemic that wipes out billions of people.
7 billion, Nathan.
7 billion people.
Isn't that all of them?
I think they recounted recently and there's like 12 now, but I haven't confirmed that. Yeah. I just remember seeing a tweet. It was like, they missed that many. I don't know. But I think it's the last census that was done. It was like 8 billion. So
they couldn't possibly have a census like for the whole world, you know?
Yeah,
not everyone has like addresses.
Yeah,
you know?
But there's like things you could do to like measure.
And it's not like fish, Nathan.
It kind of is like fish. It kind of is. We know how many fish there are, I think.
Dude.
But there's way more fish than people. So if we could do that, we could do people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Anyway, there's a global pandemic that wipes out 7 billion people. So there's only like a couple hundred million people left alive, but the minds of the dead have been uploaded to a computer program somehow called Arcadia. The living, or called the meat, are maintaining the data center Arcadia that Arcadia operates on in Alaska, where it's super cold and they can manage the heat and stuff, while the Arcadians develop a cure for the virus that's happening in the real world. And inside Arcadia, no one can like die. And they have like all sorts of weird rules and stuff, but Lee Pepper, who's a guy helping the president to keep Arcadia running, he has his family in Arcadia that he's communicating with illegally. So he's kind of keeping that on the down low. And then there's some entity in Arcadia that manages to kill somebody, which should not be possible. And that's kind of the cliffhanger of the first issue.
I'm so glad you understood all that because, like, I think I saw that stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I, like, could tell somebody what happened.
Yeah,
you know?
It was. I had to like sift through it a couple times to like really make sure I understood it, and took me longer than like probably most of the other books we do. But the thing is like there's a lot of big ideas, and I like the look of Arcadia, but I feel like this look of Arcadia, which seems very cyberpunk or like kind of high fantasy, gets abandoned after like the second or third issue.
Yeah, dude, there's like a dragon in here.
There's like some area where there's like floating rocks, and I think I discovered reading this I like an area with floating rocks, like Avatar.
Floating rocks is sweet.
That's cool shit. I want to see more floating rocks. Or like there's low poly people, and I think that the idea was brought up that if you're not like rich enough, you can't get enough bandwidth to render more polygons in your face, so you just become this like sludge person. Or like a low poly person. I think that's the idea. But then I'm like,
I thought like
none of this is on a monitor, so that's not really how that works. That's
I thought just graphics. Like the elite were uploaded to Arcadia.
No, it's like most people.
It's like 2 billion or something, I think.
It's a lot of people.
I'm like, how do I do it after the fact? You know?
They realized they had a problem.
Maybe, yeah.
I guess. Or like you can fly in Arcadia except for a few places that have physics coded in.
I was excited about this.
That
I'm
was
like,
cool.
I'm like, are you allowed to be whatever you want? And is this like Saints Row? You know?
Yeah, pretty much.
And I thought that would have been sick if we just have like basically superheroes in Arcadia. Or like this is like the Matrix.
Because this is you know? Yeah. Because you could just do whatever you want, you could run on a wall or whatever. But then they made in that idea, I feel like. Like they some people still kind of fly around. But then it's not really like an important part of the book, or it's not like an interesting visual thing that they use later on.
Oh, the low poly people are like the alien looking people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, why are there aliens protesting? You know?
Yeah, because they like need more bandwidth. I think that's what it was. But
that seems bad.
I read through it like a couple times and it was still a little bit confusing for me, but
there's like a chrome dude and I think he's like the villain or whatever. His name's like
Benetti.
Okay. I thought it was something else. He looks really cool.
He does. I think it's a good design. I don't know why he's like that.
He just kind of looks like a chrome, like, I don't know, black mask or something.
Yeah, so he's like a general.
He's got a suit
of the United Nations of Arcadia.
Yeah.
But then he, like, ends up being not super chill. But so there are, like, scientists in Arcadia that are supposed to develop a cure for the virus in the meat, which is, like, the real world.
That took me until like issue 5 to figure out what the fuck the meat was.
Right. Well, I kind of figured when there's like Arcadia and then there's the meat. I was like, that's kind of.
Because they said like the meat and it was like, they showed like the factory. I'm like, is that like a meat packing plant or something?
That one, you're just dumb, I think.
Yeah, dude.
There were big pieces of this that I wasn't sure about.
I guess the disease was something you got from like staring at the sun. Did you pick up on that?
No, I think it was like. I don't know what the disease was actually. Maybe it was staring at the sun.
I don't know. I wrote that down for a reason.
Okay, it's probably somewhere in here then.
It must have been like one panel.
The virus that exists isn't like super important, which I think is kind of interesting because we don't like see people getting treated for this virus. It's just like it exists in this world. Just kind of deal with it. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
which is fine. But since scientists are virtually trying to come up with a cure, how are they supposed to test it? On like people,
right?
And then I think that gets explained later. They have like a simulation for like what real people are supposed to be like, and I think that's what they tested on.
Yeah, you'd think that, but if they were like basically like a computer, they're in a computer, you'd be able to like speed up their processing power.
That's what I was thinking, but it seems like they operate in real time.
Like
they
should
be
like working like 8 times as fast as like people.
That's what I'm saying. Or like. At some point, people like teleport to different places, but not everybody can do that. But everybody can fly around, which I feel like would be faster than doing most things. So,
yeah,
I don't know. So, like, some of the rules of the world are a little bit fuzzy,
right?
But it's virtual and it operates at roughly the same pace as us, except they don't go to sleep.
Right,
no one sleeps. So
it's like twice as much time. They probably don't get tired.
Yeah, roughly. Yeah, probably.
So they can just be grinding.
What I do like. About this is that I think the artist does a really good job at like with like environments and stuff. Like
definitely.
I was saying, like there's a lot of like just seeing the actual data center that Arcadia lives in. It like feels pretty big and grand. Like there's a lot of server racks and stuff. And my last job was like electrical testing for data centers. And I'm like, wow, there's going to be a lot of transformers here.
But I feel like it should be bigger if it's got like 4 billion people in it.
That's a lot of servers. Or it could be multiple floors too.
True.
But. Or there's the look of like Arcadia and stuff like that, which I said, but
yeah.
Or what I do appreciate is like there's a thing that it pretty much is like a virus in Arcadia, but it's shown as like this weird entity and it talks in like code or like PowerShell.
Uh-huh.
And I like that idea.
Did it ever come back?
No, it did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's like weird dark entities that come in and like they talk in what seems like PowerShell and they're like affecting different things, and I was like, that's kind of a interesting thing that like doesn't really work in any other book because you have to be in like a virtual environment, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that's cool. But second issue, there's a kid named Giacomo that is born native to Arcadia, which is a problem because natives can like be dangerous and like explode.
Yeah, I guess that Aren't they like illegal or something?
They're illegal. You can't have people being born in Arcadia because it probably like takes up power and like bandwidth or whatever. But
real quick,
they're also unkillable. But I thought the point was that everybody was unkillable. But the fact that a native is unkillable is a big problem.
Yeah. So he's like, the first page is like his mom or something talking to him, like, do you want to play a game? And yeah, he's like, I like the rules. The kid says, I like the rules. What kind of kid likes the rules?
Well, this isn't a normal kid. This is a kid born in software.
Ah, they're trying to tell us how smart he is.
He runs off rules. Like, strictly, like, code and, you know, running operations and shit.
Yeah, I was just like, I guess I didn't pick up on that at that point.
Well, I don't think we knew that at the point where he was like, I like rules.
Like, what's wrong with this kid?
It is kind of funny. He's a fucking nerd. But Giacomo's mom, Dr. Fisk, is held prisoner in Arcadia to be questioned about why her son exists, and she doesn't really know, or she can't remember. And then Lee Pepper is being blackmailed for speaking to his family in Arcadia by his, like, partner. And then Dr. Garner in Arcadia is sent to investigate a dead body, and it's revealed that there's a copy of Lee Pepper from in, like, the real world going by this Dr. Lee Gardner in Arcadia.
Right.
And so, I don't really know how he did that. But this is the thing. There's like a lot of plot lines to keep track of. I cut out like half of them, at least, just in that sort of explanation of this issue.
Right.
But you know, still some cool ideas that are here. There's like a prison that is held in like this weird void, and it's supposed to be like a firewalled off area of Arcadia. I just think that's kind of funny.
Oh, you mean like the prison with like the jellyfish?
The cubes and like there's jellyfish there for some reason.
Yeah, that's a sick ass prison. That's scary as fuck.
It's very scary. I couldn't. That would be torture in and of itself, I feel like.
Just yeah,
sitting in this cube. It doesn't look very comfortable.
They like learn sign language because they're like speaking to each other or they're like communicating with each other.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, how the fuck do you learn that?
I just think it's funny that like thinking of being in a prison in a virtual space, it's like you're not leaving here. This place is firewalled. Like you can't get out.
There is something that kind of dated this book.
Uh-huh.
And it's a bit of dialogue.
Okay.
And it's someone like spying on Lee or whatever as he's talking to his daughter.
Yeah.
Who's in Arcadia.
Yep.
And he says like, I like your daughter's hair. Yes. It's very on fleek. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah. Way back then.
Because I think this is like 2015 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like.
Even then, it would have been a little bit tough.
Yeah.
It would have been tough to read. I think. The delivery of it seems like it's supposed to be like he's kind of cringe, but it makes it even more cringe thinking that like that would be outdated then.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's like a plot line of like Dr. Lee's kid in here that was like part of his family in Arcadia, like just kind of cut out. There's a president as well. Kind of cut that out. There's like a lot kind of going on. But
so are there murders going on in Arcadia?
Yeah. So there's
just by the sand people or whatever, or the.
Yeah. Someone gets killed in like. Arcadia,
like dunes.
Yeah, dunes. It was like I want to say it's not Colombia, but some other country. Someone like died and like died for real. So they brought in Dr. Lee Garner, who is an Arcadia version of Lee Pepper in The Meat.
Okay.
So like the main character in The Meat is also in Arcadia, and I'm not really sure why, but he's in both places. But I think it's because. Basically, like, they make a kid called the Native, and you can have a kid if you have a bunch of your memories that you kind of take out from one entity and smash into another.
Yeah.
So, like, two people need to take out parts of their memories and just put them into one, and then that makes a kid. So, I don't think Lee Gardner knew that he was Lee Pepper, and I don't think that the mom of this Native kid knew how this kid existed, you know?
Okay.
Or knew that it wasn't somebody that was in the meat before.
Gotcha.
But at the end of this... That Native kid Giacomo, he like blows up and that kills people. So that's a pretty big deal, I guess.
Okay, I mean, that's what I'm thinking of.
Well, like he has like a power where he blows up. He doesn't die.
Yeah.
But he gets freaked out and he like explodes.
He's like that X-Men. Like the worst
X-Men ever. Yeah. Yeah, we should read that book.
So I guess there's a element of this to where if you're in Arcadia, you can like edit your memories.
Yeah, that's what one of the people does in this book.
So if there's like you have a shit day or something dramatic happens or whatever, like, you just
highlight all that data and delete it, I guess.
Yeah.
Which would be cool.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. Just get rid of some trauma real quick.
There was a line in here that was kind of hard. Someone says, our accounts with the dead can't be settled cheaply. I was like, oof.
I don't even know what that means. But it sounds fucking cool.
But like, yeah, like it's almost as if like you almost owed somebody something or, but they ended up dying before you could fulfill that.
Yeah.
And then just kind of making amends on something like that.
Yeah.
Is like even harder now that they're dead.
Yeah.
I just thought it was neat.
Can you imagine owing somebody something and then you die or whatever and you get sent to Arcadia and then that same person that you owe something to also goes to Arcadia?
Yeah.
And it's like, I found you.
Because this isn't like heaven. Like everyone just kind of goes there.
Yeah. It's just like a temporary, like, it's like a limbo or something. You know what I mean?
I mean, well, it's not like their soul goes to Arcadia.
Their consciousness kind of does.
Uploaded. that's like uploaded. I don't think that's like.
Those are one and the same to me, philosophically.
Yeah. Like practically, yes. But I'm thinking more like comic wise.
Oh, yeah.
Say if there is like heaven and hell kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
I feel like soul moves on, you know?
Right.
And then you just choose to upload your brain, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway.
If this is like a temporary solution, where's all the bodies? How are they keeping track of the bodies?
What do you mean?
Is the idea that like you get held in Arcadia and then you just get back in your body when the virus is chill again?
No, because.
Or is it just like permanent?
I don't think it's supposed to be meant to. You're supposed to like back up your memory into like a dead body, you know?
Yeah, true.
So like these people are dead. But they're
just living here now.
Yeah, their subconscious is living on.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, their bodies are rotten or whatever.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So it's just kind of like a tech heaven kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or tech afterlife.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, issue 3. Giacomo, the native kid, kills a bunch of guys, like SWAT guys in Arcadia by exploding. And then he flies off with a stranger. Arcadia version of Dr. Garner manages to make a connection with the meat version of Garner, and they like have this like weird telekinetic connection for like a second, which proves that there is some sort of connection that is possible between Arcadia and the meat. Benetti, who's like the Arcadia general guy, tries to bring in Coral Garner, which is the daughter of Lee Garner, but she escapes. And then Arcadia Garner is thrown into the void prison, and Benetti wants to use him as a mole of some sort. We don't really know why yet. And then Arcadia people find out about Nocturne, which is a way for the meat people to permanently kill Arcadians. Basically, just deleting them, I think. And
no, I thought Nocturne was like something that the government, like the president, suggested, which is to like shut down Arcadia for a couple hours.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's what it is.
A day in order to save energy.
Yeah.
Because it uses like an insane amount of energy.
Yeah, you're right. It would basically be like a sleep cycle, but for Arcadia, because they're up all the time and that uses compute power, processing power.
Yeah.
So they kind of just shut it down for 8 hours.
I mean, to them, they wouldn't really notice that it was turned off, I don't think.
I don't think so.
I mean, that's kind of like us, if like we go to sleep and have uninterrupted sleep, you know, you just kind of teleport to the next day.
That's true.
So.
Dude, maybe we're in a simulation.
Whoa, probably. They got Nocturne.
Dude, we got Nocturne. But
everyone's got different Nocturne, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can't think about that too long.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm going to get stressed out.
Is there a character named Alice?
Probably.
That dies or something?
Alice dies. Let's see.
Oh, wait, yeah. Okay.
Here's one thing. They're in like college, or the daughter of the Garner person is in college, and they're talking about like just kind of living in Arcadia and philosophically some of the things that have changed. And there's some questions being brought up, like would vegans still exist
right.
in this space? Because like you're not killing any animals unless you're like virtually killing them. And so it's like, do you even need to eat even?
Yeah.
So
I mean,
like,
maybe
would vegans still exist?
Maybe it's like just to have like the mental sensation
of like eating. Yeah.
Cause like, even if I like didn't get hungry, I think I'd still want to eat some stuff.
I think so too. Sometimes you just want a pizza.
Like cookies. Yeah.
Yeah. Or cookies
and pizza. That's really the only thing I'd be like, you know what?
Or yeah, maybe you want to go have a drink. Can you get drunk? Probably not. Can you code yourself to be drunk?
I guess it's kind of like if you were drinking in like fucking Red Dead or something.
Yeah, you can get drunk in there.
Yeah, so it's like each beer is worth like a certain amount of ABV or whatever.
If has 10 beers equals super drunk.
Yeah.
That's how coding works.
And I think at some point somebody says that something's wrong with Arcadia. Did you pick up on that?
Like, oh, I think they're just running out of space.
Okay. All right, I had like nothing on that issue.
Yeah, that's fair. So issue 4, Benetti is using Garner in Arcadia Prison to try and get a password to Arcadia source code from the guy that created Arcadia. And so they're kind of working together. I don't really know why he's working for him, but Coral breaks her dad, Lee Garner, out of prison with some like shape-shifting heist thing that they can do. But he did manage to get the Arcadia root password, which is like eminence. And so Benetti broadcasts to Arcadia and the meet that if Nocturne is not reversed, then Arcadia will cut ties with the meet, stopping a cure from being made. And then some Arcadia scientist does test a new cure on a subject, which goes wrong, and it turns him into like another weird, like void person. And my question is, why wouldn't the people running the data center just pull the plug? You know, if you're not going to be cooperative anyway, like they always have that as leverage, I feel like, over these people.
You can kind of think of it as like, what is it, like global relations or national relations? What is it, like just conflict with other countries?
Yeah.
You know, because there's other people. You can't just be threatening, like,
I guess it would be a little bit of genocide.
Yeah, like a lot of genocide.
Like billions.
Even though all those people are dead.
They are dead, like, and like they're only, but you know, I guess that's kind of the idea that Benetti's doing, is like he's doing this like game of chicken with them.
Yeah.
But like one can't exist without the other. And I guess that's the point. You know, you just got to learn to work together.
Yeah. Why would they work or go to college? Like there's no point.
It's not
like
you're not going to die.
They don't need resources.
You don't really need money.
They don't need each other to function.
Or if you do need money. Yeah. Why would there even be scientists? I guess they probably have the altruistic.
I guess for the sense of that.
Yeah.
You know.
But like why do you do anything?
Not everyone can be scientists, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like. It should be like an afterlife.
Why would you be a professor in college?
Yeah, you just play video games all day.
Fuck off. Yeah, play
like literally for like hours and days straight.
All day. Or just go fly around. Go to the beach. Just stay there.
Yeah. And then like if you get like sand in your ass, you probably wish it away.
I'm not asking for more to be in this book, but like a passing little statement of like, yeah, everybody just works kind of like how they did before. Yeah, and that would be fine with me.
Because like they don't need money or something.
Yeah.
And I don't think they'd make it to where like, you need currency in order to feed yourself.
Yeah, I need money.
And even
so
if you
I
don't
can,
get hungry, you know?
Yeah, totally. I need money so I can eat and like be in a house.
Okay, so think of this. Like say like we go to Arcadia, but we still want to stay up to date on like comics that come out in the meat.
True.
That the meat produce. Does that mean that we should work in order to like buy digital copies of comics so that the people making them in the real world get money?
Is there inter-virtual or is there inter-meet commerce is what you're asking? Like, can people in Arcadia buy stuff
only really digitally? Digital things, you know, because
like the new Elden Ring game comes out, I'm in Arcadia, I'm like, I need to play that,
because if there's only like a billion people in the world, then a lot of production of stuff is going to go down. But if there's like enough money to keep, as if there is like 8 billion people in the world, then stuff will keep getting made, you know, for the people in Arcadia.
I guess that's true, but in that, I don't think all the money is accessible. So,
what do you mean?
If 8 billion people die, how am I going to get all the cash?
Digitally. It's not like.
Well, like there's cash that exists that's in circulation.
Right. But like, you know, also, like the American dollar is not backed by gold anymore, you know? So it's really just like a number that you have.
It's a fallback.
Right. But just say that there's no longer like national currency. It's just like units, like a global currency.
Crypto.
Yeah. Bitcoin.
Yeah. Bitcoin.
You want to buy Call of Duty 27 or whatever, but you live in Arcadia.
Yeah. You use Bitcoin.
Activision or whoever has it is going to keep making that shit if only the people alive are buying it. Because
that's not a good market. Yeah. So, I guess that's true.
And then you basically have like unlimited customers, because even though you die, they're still playing your game, you know?
Yeah, your customer base exists.
So is your like game library like transferred to Arcadia? So you
or you have to like they buy need it, support for that.
You have to buy it again.
Steam would have to come up with some sort of support for that.
So I could see that. Bottom line, I could see working being okay if you want to like have Netflix or something, or if you want to buy comics, you know?
Yeah.
Because,
like, Scott Snyder is still pumping out Batman, but he's still alive.
But is is he, like, still creating, like, in Arcadia if he's dead?
I think some people would create for the love of the game. But right. They probably wouldn't sell it. Because, like, why? You don't need money.
That's true.
So I think if there's Scott Snyder alive in the meat, you know, he still needs to pay for whatever he needs to pay for.
Right.
So he sells to Arcadia.
But is everything cheap? Because, like, there's so much... Well,
it'd be a little cheaper, unless there's tariffs.
You wouldn't...
going into Arcadia?
You wouldn't, like, maintain, like, livestock in, you know, crops and stuff at that level.
Not as much, no.
So
less demand.
I guess the demand would adjust.
There's a supply and demand.
The supply would adjust to the demand.
Yep. I took econ.
I thought too hard about that. But it's a good question. I think.
There are, see, big ideas.
Cause then, like, I guess a lot of creators like Grant Morrison that doesn't have to make comics. He definitely wouldn't be making comics if he's in Arcadia.
He's making Batman for the love of the game. You know, he doesn't need to do that.
Right.
So he'll probably make Superman books in Arcadia.
He hasn't, it's like been a minute since, like, you know, his stuff comes out. And so that could be for, like, a lot of creators, they're not making stuff as much because it's no longer their job.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, I guess there's, like, the low poly people. They need, I think they're the poor.
Oh yeah, to be, like, rendered more.
So maybe I think everything we just talked about is dumb. So I don't think everybody, because there's, like, kids that are, like,
your parents got to pay for them.
I guess so.
If they want to be, like,
I don't understand this world, man. Issue 5. There's more real people that start to transition to Arcadia. They're just, like, uploading themselves after seeing the Benetti broadcast thing, and Benetti reveals that he has a cure, but he won't share it with the meat yet until he has, like, control of the whole situation. And this is causing Transformers to explode in the meat. And so people are dying that way because there's an influx of people going into Arcadia. Coral, who's the daughter, meets the original creator of Arcadia. His name's Roger. And then Giacomo starts to, like, dive down into the deep Arcadia code. And he starts speaking to this, like, dark entity thing. And I'm lost at this point.
Yeah.
Are people, like, killing themselves to go to Arcadia? I assume they would be, right? I think there's, like, how do you get there? I think there's, like, a little thing that you put in your fucking head, and that uploads your consciousness.
You probably Bluetooth. Have to go somewhere, like a DMB.
But there's people, like, stabbing shit in their head, and I think that's how they get in.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And I guess it's just, like, a Bluetooth connection.
That seems like it would take more time, because there's so many, like,
well, you're dead, but
neurons or whatever.
It's probably still doing work while you're dead.
I guess so. Yeah, because, like, if you don't want to, like, work or whatever, I guess it...
Yeah.
We already established that they're working in Arcadia, but, like...
If you don't want to die. Because I assume...
Because, like, I don't know if, like...
If you're old, do you go in Arcadia old?
I think, whenever you... Well, maybe if you pay more, you can be younger kind of thing.
Yeah, maybe. People shapeshift, so maybe they just revert to a version of themselves.
True.
I don't know if... I assume everybody can do that.
But, like, if you are, like, if you're, like, mentally ill and you, like, take your life, are you mentally ill in Arcadia?
Probably. It's just uploading what you got.
Dang.
It's a lift and shift.
Like, it's really not, like, a solution.
No, at that point, you just die.
I bet there'd be, like, hippies that, like, wouldn't want to go to Arcadia.
Oh, 100%.
So they try and live as long as possible.
I don't know if I would.
I mean,
if I'm going to die, I'll be like, you know, I'll give it a shot. See what happens. Because I got nothing to lose.
Because this is what everyone's doing.
But to me, yeah, that's true. I probably would. I don't know what I'm talking
about. I guess it gives you more of a... Because a lot of the elites that are going into this, they probably don't have to work in Arcadia because they did well in the real world, in the meat or whatever.
Yeah, I wonder how... There wouldn't be, like, any billionaires in Arcadia. Because it's not like people are motivated by money as much, I don't think. Unless people do have to work.
Assuming, like, that there's, like, a funds transfer kind of thing, like, when you die.
A Bitcoin transfer, yeah.
Yeah, your Bitcoin... You're just living with your Bitcoin.
But then are you paying people to do... I don't know.
Anyway.
I'm done thinking about that.
There's the meat, the Audis or whatever. They want like a back door. They're trying to figure out... I think the government is trying to find, like, a back door in Arcadia.
Yeah, they need a way to get in.
To get, like... Did you see that?
Kind of.
Okay.
People are getting in, but I didn't say the government wants their own way in.
Mm. Yeah, and they're saying, like, Arcadia is, like, at capacity, which makes sense because... I feel like with
a certain amount of servers.
Yeah. So do they call Giacomo Jack?
I don't know.
I think they're like, that's like a nickname.
Giacomo's a weird name. I don't know what that means.
I don't think it's a real name.
It might mean something.
It might be.
But yeah.
No, I don't know.
So chapter 6, it starts off with someone like actually mining in the earth for Bitcoin. I thought that was kind of funny. But Giacomo talks to the lady that is the weird dark entity thing that's been killing people. And she's saying that she's doing some cleansing, which sounds bad, but she's actually being controlled by like these weird goblins. Don't really know what they are or what they represent. But the president and the meat plan on resetting Arcadia essentially to its factory settings. I don't know what that, they wouldn't be killing people, but I guess just going back to like resetting back to day one, which would be kind of annoying, I guess.
Yeah. Does that mean like everyone's memories are?
Yeah, I think memories and all that, all progress goes back to a checkpoint. Essentially, like you die in a game, you just like, you come back.
Yeah, what's the point of that?
Just so that they become less rebellious, I think.
Okay.
So while in California, Lee Pepper finds a file from Arcadia creator Roger that tells him that his wife, Cybele, had Alzheimer's and she was the test subject for uploading consciousness into Arcadia. But apparently, she is somehow actually holding everyone in Arcadia inside of her mind, I think. But I don't know what the servers are for in that case, but maybe just holding the data. And the dark entities are actually Cybele trying to clear out foreign entities out of her mind. And then once Lee Pepper makes this realization, he gets knocked unconscious. And that's that issue.
So on page like 133, there's like the Staples Center.
Yeah.
Which is where like the Lakers play.
Yep.
So this is actually strangely accurate because when this book was made, it was the Staples Center,
mm-hmm.
but it was rebranded to the Crypto.com arena.
Oh yeah, that's
right. When crypto became a thing.
Uh-huh.
But then it transitioned back to the Staples Center.
How does Staples have it like that?
I don't know.
Who's going to Staples? I guess businesses, but for what?
I don't know. I think the Staples right next to me closed, but maybe that's Office Max. I'm not sure, but
that's funny that people.
It's funny that like they made Staples Center in the comic, and this is like the future or whatever.
Yeah,
and they knew that they didn't know back. It was going to rebrand and come back. But it's funny that it's still accurate, you know. Yeah.
It's funny that crypto like fell so hard that it'll just give it back to Staples.
Yeah, there's someone in the meet. They are experimenting with like a mouse, mm-hmm. and they're able to like upload like a mouse to his computer.
Yeah.
And there's a panel of like this mouse being drawn. And like that's all they got.
Virtual mouse complete. Yeah. download virtual mouse, yes or no.
I just thought it was funny.
And it's like, these are the people that make Arcadia.
Yeah, this is like the training wheels that maybe people are training to be software engineers for. Yeah. Arcadia.
Yeah. So what I hate is that Arcadia has like Arcadia, California, and like, yeah, Arcadia, Mojave Desert and stuff like that, which is fine because you got to put people somewhere, I guess.
Yeah.
But then there's people are also going in the meet to like California and stuff like that.
So, right.
I have to like, I wish there was a better indicator or something, like maybe just the borders of the panels are like blue or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That would help a ton.
And I know they say it before, but that because we're jumping around so much, I have to like, I need some sort of unconscious indicator that I'm in the real world or I'm in a virtual world or whatever.
Yeah, or if like the real world is like a sepia tone or something. Like it's like just
like you're in Mexico in movies.
Yeah. Or it's like black and white, you know, it's just like a lot of the soul or whatever.
Yeah, even if it's like more depressing because there's a pandemic that killed 7 billion people. Like more depressing colors, and then Arcadia it's like a little bit more bright. Which like, generally it kind of is.
Like neon and stuff, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I think this is an example of like someone stabbing that thing in their head and then going to Arcadia. Because this, yeah, Roger dude, like the guy that created it, I think poked one in his head and then he hung himself. But he turned into a skeleton really fast. So I don't know.
Yeah, is the hanging even necessary?
Yeah. Yeah. And then issue
7.
So Lee Pepper is being tortured by Uncle Cosmos for some information. I'm not sure what it is. Giacomo explains that they are all in Cybele's mind, and then Cosmos wants Lee to send them to Arcadia, and then Lee's connection with his Arcadia clone
Counterpart, yeah.
Counterpart gets them to come up with a plan to send all of Arcadia to Lee's head instead somehow. Because that would be better than having it in Cybele's head, who's trying to like clear it out. And so they come up with a plan really fast to do this. But in the process of them doing this, a monster Titan version of Cybele emerges into Arcadia to start like fucking shit up.
Was there like a suicide pact in this issue? There's like a bunch of people just drinking like Gatorade mixed with Drano.
Yeah, there's like this dude who looks a lot like our main character, which is really fucking annoying.
Except he has like the chin shaved.
Same long straight hair, same facial hair, same kind of like skin tone, except the only differentiation is that, yeah, the chin part of the facial hair is like shaved.
You couldn't have made him blonde or something?
Yeah, make him blonde. Fucking anything. You know what I mean? Give him a scar.
Yeah, that's always tough. No matter how good you are at art.
Yeah, it's like, these are literally the same design. So it's hard. But anyway, yeah, there is like a weird suicide pact thing. I think there's a mass group of people that are trying to get into Arcadia. And they start drinking Drano.
Right. Don't do that. But
you should do that. That's obviously bad. But yeah, that was kind of crazy.
And
so
the giant aspect is cool. I'm like, all right, here's something, you know, sci-fi.
Yeah,
you know?
I can't imagine this giant's gonna yap too much.
Not just like people talking about stuff.
Yeah. So that's fun. I don't know why she's saying like not LAN a lot. NOTLAN. She says that a lot. There's no real explanation that I saw, but
yeah, I thought that was like someone's name or something.
Yeah, but I don't know who that is.
Neither do I.
But issue 8. So Benetti turns himself into a big monster to fight Cybele. I don't know why everybody isn't doing that. If it's a danger and you can shapeshift, but so they start fighting, and then while they fight, they start transferring everyone in Arcadia into Lee instead of Cybele. And then Giacomo stays because the whole algorithm doing the transfer won't work on him since he's a native. So he has to stay behind. And then everyone gets into Lee Pepper's mind, which leaves him like paralyzed pretty much, I think, or like almost like brain dead in a way. And Giacomo still exists in Cybele's mind with the Arcadia Lee. And they're just kind of like hanging out in her mind still.
Yeah. A bunch of people like were like melting away.
Yeah.
Because I guess that's the transfer happening or whatever.
Yeah. I think, yeah, it's their data being transferred over, but they successfully moved everybody into Lee, which I don't know if that really fixes anything.
And I guess
it fixes this like dark entity, like killing people. And I guess that was kind of the spark that created a bunch of conflict. So maybe we'll just be chill again because Lee voluntarily wants them there.
But, was the skull dude Valentin or whatever?
The skull dude?
Yeah, the dude with the face, the chrome guy.
That's Benetti.
Okay.
He was like the Arcadia United Nations general guy.
Right.
Basically, he's like president of Arcadia, I would say.
There was like some dude that was like in like a meat prison who had like the cure for like the virus.
Oh, yeah.
And he just had it drawn on a napkin.
Oh, yeah. He's in the meat, and that's Lee's like partner. Yeah, Valentin. Yeah.
Okay.
He's like a Russian dude, but he gets like addicted to heroin or something.
Yeah, he's like, can I have some heroin?
And, like, when did you get addicted to heroin? Like, there's a time jump of like 2 months, and in that 2 months, he grows like this crazy beard. He needs glasses, and he's addicted to heroin. And I'm like, when did this happen? But yeah, I don't think this is a cure. This is nonsense. Because all it is just like a molecule drawn on a napkin, and I'm not. You know, I don't make vaccines, but I think you need a little bit more than that.
It can't be that simplistic.
I don't think it'll be that easy.
Yeah.
So kind of crazy.
And now, like in Arcadia, there's like a bunch of superheroes. Like everyone's flying.
I think those people are dead.
Maybe. That's a somber way of looking at it.
Why is... So Lee...
Like if they're being transferred, wouldn't they melt away? Like Lee did?
Yeah.
So... Because these guys are here because...
They didn't make it?
Because, well, like, Giacomo's there because he's made there.
He's native.
And then the Lee is there because...
He's, like, kind of native?
Because everyone's in his head already. Yeah. So, like...
So, I guess he wouldn't have made it.
It's not like he would be in his head.
Yeah, so I don't know why everybody else is here, but they're floating in a way that suggests that they're not trying to be like that, you know? So I don't know how that works. Maybe that's just like the husks of everybody that left.
It seems like they're flying.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So
let's get it back matter matters.
That's back. Yep.
Back matter matters.
We got some covers, Daniel.
Yeah.
Great covers, I gotta say.
Yeah, pretty good stuff. It lends itself to having really cool covers.
I think. Yeah. Because there's lots of
do you know these people?
Like design issues that you can do. Okay, let's see. We got Eric Scott Pfeiffer. He's the artist for this book. We got Matt Taylor.
He's really good.
He is really good. When I saw the cover of this, I'm like, I'm excited to read this. So that, I guess that's what a cover artist needs to do.
Ooh, connecting covers.
W. Scott Forbes, don't know. Fraser Irving. I've seen him somewhere.
Yeah.
He's just connected. Eric Scott Pfeiffer, Matt Taylor again. I don't think I knew any of these people. But yeah.
That's good.
Just some covers. So, what would you rate this book, Daniel?
I would rate this like a scoop of ice cream that you like drop on the floor.
Okay.
And then you're like forced to eat it off the ground.
Wow. I like that.
And you don't get to go back and get another one.
you can't redo it.
Yeah. Like it's still like ice cream. Like you're
excited for it.
Maybe it's not that dirty of a spot on the ground.
I like that.
Dude, remember that kid in Barcelona at the zoo?
Yeah.
He like drops his ice cream on the ground.
That was wild.
He just fucking bends over and eats it off the ground.
Like literally a cartoon. Like
the flexibility was insane.
Like a cartoon circular ice cream falls off a cone, hits the ground, and he goes for it.
We were just watching this kid, and it just happened.
The mom was watching too,
and we were like, no.
We were feet away.
The mom didn't fucking flinch.
And we were like, well, our eyes were like jaws on the floor. Like, oh my God. We had to leave immediately because it was insane and we were about to start laughing.
It was like the funniest thing I've ever seen, probably.
Because I saw the gears turning in that kid's head. Like ice cream on floor now. What can I do about this? And just like, I think I could get that.
When you drop a thing, you could pick up
the
thing.
And then we tried to like mimic that. Like, I don't think I could have the flexibility to even do that.
No.
Which I don't. It's crazy.
No. Yeah. His hammies are elastic.
Yeah.
What do you rate it?
I think I'd rate it like, it's very complex. So I want to give it like a complex dish, but like probably like a French dish that's very complex, but I don't feel like I'd get full from.
Like, okay.
Like a ratatouille.
Sure.
Like that shit looks like it'd be good, but I feel like if I eat it, I'd be like, that was an appetizer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, there's so many flavors and stuff like that that I can't really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think. Like, I think this is probably good if you read it again.
Yeah.
But it's still like kind of long and it's not the pacing that really keeps me to a book. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I'm not saying I would just want people punching each other all the time, but it would be nice in this book if there's more people punching each other.
Yeah.
Which sounds like a dumb way to put it, but.
Like, I like that, you know, people have like their vision and their idea and they're able to execute that.
Yeah.
You know, it got made with Boom and whatnot.
Right.
But I guess the way people write or the way that they want to execute something might not always translate with me.
Yeah.
You know, but.
Yeah, I think I like a lot of the ideas here, but the way it was told, there's just a lot going on. So
I think with something that can be kind of dull, like this virtual universe, you have to have a lot of fun stuff in it.
Totally.
To kind of keep the momentum going.
Yeah, I agree. I think it loses its momentum.
But this guy writes comics and I don't. So
yeah, true. He makes better comic than we could make.
Yeah. So let's go into the poll list, colon.
Shove in your box.
The pull list. What did you shove in your box?
So this is the week of May 7th. That is Sarah's birthday, I think.
Nice.
I like leave on her birthday. I'm like, I gotta go get comics.
New comic book day.
Are you still on Absolute Superman?
Yeah.
So number 7 of that comes out.
Yep, I gotta catch up, but yep.
Absolute Green Lantern, number 2.
Yes, sir.
The Moon is Following Us, number 9.
Almost done with that.
Resurrection Man, number 2.
Yeah.
The new Star Wars series starts, the number 1 of that.
Oh,
okay, cool, yeah. I think, who's writing that? It's like Alex Segura.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I've read anything by him, and I don't know if I really feel like jumping on like a Star Wars thing, because it looks like it's post A New Hope. Which I think they're fucking good on.
Yeah, I think we did that.
Yeah, I mean, I could be wrong, but
okay.
I don't know. I'm really not interested in
like a Star Wars
comics right now. Yeah, unless someone's like, dude, read this kind of thing, I will. But
yeah, I think that's totally fair.
Did you know that Farmhand is coming back?
Dude, is it?
Yeah, issue number 21.
Nice.
Because it stopped at 20. I guess he was busy with the show for however long. And then the last arc
will what be show?
the Farmhand show?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Where is it?
He had to finish. Busy. Maybe he's done now. And it's just, CGI at this point.
Cool.
But
it's going to be live? Live action?
I think.
Sweet.
I don't really know, but... Yeah, the last arc of Farmhand will be coming out.
Nice.
Starting with 21. Godzilla Heist number 3?
Nah.
Nah.
I'm dropping it.
Dude, I didn't have it. I wasn't subscribed to the rest of the series, but it was in my box.
Oh, no.
And I told the dude that, and he's confirmed that it wasn't in my box, but he still charged me for it, and it was in my bag. I was I told him he'd take it off.
Whoa.
And then I come home, I look through my shit and scan it, and it was fucking there. I'm like, what the fuck?
Godzilla 2 was there?
Yeah. I'm like, I guess I gotta fucking read this.
I mean, it was a fine issue.
Yeah. But when you're already mentally checked out from it.
Yeah, when you know you're not gonna read it, you're not gonna, yeah.
Yeah. But now I have it now. I think last week I said Heavy Metal number 1 comes out. Mm-hmm. I think it was pushed to this week.
Okay.
So
Heavy Metal.
Yeah, we're recording in advance, so I get to see all the delays or whatever.
Yep.
Hopefully I have it from the Kickstarter that I funded before it comes out.
Yeah, a loyal reader.
I'm going to read right away now just so I feel a little exclusive.
And then spoil something on Twitter or something.
I would never. Too much stuff has been spoiled for me the last couple weeks to where I just hate people who spoil stuff and totally. I would never be that person.
Yeah, fair.
I didn't read anything else because the time that I did have was going to this and
It took a lot. I take breaks and stuff too.
Right.
That's fair.
I got some more stuff on eBay.
Oh, really? Nice. Yeah. Let's check it out.
We got
eBay books. Let's see.
Batman versus Predator.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yes, sir. Dude, flip through that. Look how fucking sick it looks.
Oh, my God. So this is Dave Gibbons and Andy Kubert and Adam Kubert.
Yeah, Dave Gibbons writes.
Oh, my God.
The artwork and the coloring fucking rules.
Oh, my Lord.
It's so 90s and awesome.
Dude, this invisible predator.
That's right there. Yeah, dude.
Look at that shit. If you're not on YouTube, go check it out. This is awesome.
That's one of those things that are just out of print. I'm and I just looked it up and it's very...
How much was that? Do you remember?
20 something.
That's great.
Yeah. And then I got the hardcovers of the Marvel Hip Hop
variants.
It's just
there's two of them?
Yeah, there's two hardcovers because they did two batches of them. And so...
So does it have the issues of those books?
No. That would be way too long. It's just the covers.
There's that many?
Yeah, I guess so.
Is that the Carter?
Yeah.
The one you flipped to?
This is the Carter
three.
Four. Is it three?
Oh, maybe it might be two.
Maybe.
I mean,
I don't know. I need to ask Sarah. She would know.
She would know the Carters?
So what I was kind of hoping for is that they'd have the original
No, you can't do that.
Album, yeah, but that'd be just too hard. And so I don't really know what a lot of these are,
I don't either. I don't know a ball like that.
I know a lot of the first volume one, but the second batch of them, these are deep cuts.
Cool.
I'm I do not know these.
I keep saying they got to do it again, but metal covers.
I tried looking up
covers.
Just a collection of these online, but you couldn't really find them all somewhere. Maybe I wasn't looking hard enough.
No one's documented all of them.
Yeah,
I mean, there's probably a Reddit post or something.
Yeah, maybe. But I kind of just liked having them because I like looking at them. And yeah, this is such a
just on the cover of that, I could see that Kanye West album, the one that like orange one,
The Life of Pablo.
Yeah,
it's The Life of Carol. It's Carol Danvers.
Oh, probably for the life and death of Carol.
Oh yeah, yeah. And so yeah, this is just one of the coolest things cover wise I think has come out. So I bought these together.
Which one of those do you have physically? Because I have a few of them. I have the Power Man.
I think I have the Astonishing Ant-Man.
Okay. I have the Moon Knight one. And I have the Power Man and Iron Fist one.
I have to flip through it.
And I think there's an Extraordinary X-Men one.
I have the Vision one, which I think was I think it was a weekend cover.
Oh, yeah.
So Yeah, there's a lot of them.
That's cool.
But yeah, I always thought that was really cool.
That'd be a good coffee table book.
Yeah. But I'm not putting it on my coffee table. Sarah's like, why is this here?
So people could look at it.
Yeah. But yeah, I got those. I was pretty excited about it.
Nice.
Another out of print thing that I've been looking for.
Nice.
Did you read anything?
I read New Gods 4 and 5.
Ooh, I haven't read 5, but...
4 is phenomenal.
Isn't it spectacular?
It's when, like, shit hits the fan.
I was like, here we go.
I know. I read that right after reading this, and I was like, this is what I like. Which is so stupid, because it's just, like, people fighting or whatever, but... Man, it's so good. It's so... And then the beginning artist for the next issue is Andrew McLean.
Nice.
Which is so good.
That's
it's,
awesome.
It's like light ray flying in around 5? And shit. In 5, yeah. Because they have like a guest artist for like the first 2 or 3 pages.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, this one's so good. And I think what I like so much about this comic, obviously, is Evan Cagle, but he's really good at like... Do you know what aura farming is?
I think so, but...
It's like just... You're pretty much just creating a situation to make yourself look cool. And then just like making yourself look cool, pretty much. And I feel like that's all that issue was. Because there's that person with like the light bow powers. And she's like shooting a bow up into the air. And then there's like a sea of arrows that like come down onto parademons.
Yeah, Shadowfall? Like, the fuck is Shadowfall?
I don't know.
Fucking hard. But I want
more of Shadowfall.
So sick.
And it's just so cool. And then there's like, there's really cool like High Father shit that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember if it was in 4 or 5, but he does some crazy shit. I think it's 5.
Okay.
But man, it's so good.
Yeah, that book rules.
And like Orion just looks cool constantly, which I feel like he's a goofy looking guy most of the time.
Yeah, I think 4 you see like Mr. Miracle in action, stuff like that.
There's some cool Mr. Miracle stuff, which he looks great. And I love seeing him. So I think they do really, really good with this book. It's like, if Evan fucking Cankle does not get an Eisner,
we riot.
I will. I don't know if it would even count for this year. At some point in this year or next year, if he doesn't get one for this book, I'd be...
It might be angry. For next year, because I think maybe number 1 came out in December.
I think number 1, yeah, it was probably December. So I don't know if he'll be considered. But if he's not next year, I riot.
Yeah.
Also, I think it's time for me to submit us to be judges for the Eisner. So I'm going to do that when I get home.
Hell yeah, dude. If you remember.
Yeah. So that's what I read.
Did you watch anything?
I watched the first episode of The Last of Us.
Okay.
Season 2. Pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm really excited. I couldn't remember a whole lot of what happened in the first season. So it was a little bit of like...
The recap's helpful.
Recap did help.
I only remembered like the last scene really well. Where they're like on the mountain. And then Ellie's like, you promise or whatever.
Yeah, he's like, don't lie to me. And then he lies.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's really good. Did you watch it? Or
yeah, I'm caught up on it.
Oh, you are? Okay. Yeah, I only watched the first episode.
Okay.
But it's great. I think I was back into it like immediately. And it was great. Was Catherine O'Hara in the first season?
No.
Okay. So did we know who her husband was? In the first season?
I looked it up. It was the old guy. I don't remember what the situation was.
Okay.
But this seems to
be... Was he in the first season?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't remember him. But she had a real problem.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's cool. I like just kind of the whole situation. And then there's like a lot of chemistry between Ellie and Dina, I think is her name.
Mm-hmm.
And that really works for me.
Dina is the girl from Alien Romulus.
Oh
yeah, I was telling Sarah about like her.
I thought
like,
she looked familiar.
I was telling her about like, well, she also played Dora in that Michael Bay movie.
That's what. Wait, is Michael Bay movie?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Michael Bay produced.
It's probably produced.
But I was telling Sarah about like her like horror scream. I'm like, oh, they probably got her like because of that, or maybe this was filmed. Did around she do the
horror
same
scream in like Romulus?
Yeah.
When her like boyfriend dies.
I think it's like when she like gives birth.
Oh, that's a good one too.
Yeah. And I remember thinking like, that's a good fucking scream.
I can't wait to tell Sophie that that's the person from Romulus, and I'm going to act like I knew that before. So
you're welcome. You're welcome.
But she'll listen to this and know that I'm a fraud.
So. Yeah.
But yeah, she's good. She's a really good actor. And I immediately.
Super likable.
Yeah. Got the chemistry between her and Ellie in the show. And then there's that scary fucking infected person that like, that thinks and like hides.
Oh yeah.
And like is quiet.
That was fucking tense.
I was like, dude, is this.
I'm like, I forgot how much this show fucking rules.
It does, dude. It rules. And if there's more of those fuckers, that's going to be really scary.
This is such a strange show for like my relationship because Sarah like does not fuck with zombie shit like, at all. Like she'll, It's like black and white shit, stuff before the 90s, and then zombie shit. It's just like zero tolerance for it.
But she likes this.
But she likes this. I'm like, it's the same concept.
No, they're fungus.
But it's dead people, right?
They're not alive.
Right. And so it's just like...
Yeah, no, I get what you mean. It's pretty much the same.
Yeah.
But yeah, that show's great.
Yeah, big fan.
The second episode good?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Have you heard anything about it?
Yeah, I think I know what happens.
Yeah.
And I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
But I've been keeping it from Sophia, so I can't wait for it to happen.
That's probably good. Yeah, that was spoiled for us. And that sucks. But I almost like kind of preferred to know in hindsight.
I just knew what the concept of the second game was, so I knew that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were going in blind mostly, but.
Yeah.
Anything else you want?
It's good. I'm glad it's good. I haven't read anything else or watched anything else.
Okay. Got a couple things.
Did you read Resurrection Man?
No, but I had a copy in my box. So I just gave yours.
Okay,
back.
Cool.
I watched the first episode of Monarch, Legacy of Monsters, that Godzilla Apple show.
Oh, yeah. The one that came out a little bit ago.
Yeah. It is executive produced and developed by Matt Fraction.
Really?
Yeah. That's kind of like why he hasn't like done comics in like a little.
He just comes back and gets Batman then?
Yep.
You think you could just go make an Apple fucking plus Godzilla fucking thing and come do Batman? I guess he could.
And also, but Mariko Tamaki is like a writer on that too.
I think they're married.
No, that's...
Oh, that's...
Kelly Sue.
Yeah, you're right. But they're friends. I think they've collaborated.
I'm telling you, they've collaborated on this Godzilla show.
That's what I was thinking of.
I just saw the name. I'm like, wait a fucking minute.
She's great.
Yeah, it's a pretty interesting show. It's like a majority like people stuff, but it's like interesting people stuff.
Mm, okay.
And so I'm in, you know.
How in are you? How deep are you in?
Just one.
Is there Godzilla yet?
Yeah.
Cool.
You get like a minute of Godzilla. It looks great.
Do you think there will be no Godzilla the rest of the time because they got you in already?
I think there should be like at least like a minute of Godzilla each episode and then maybe a lot in the finale.
That'd be cool.
So that's kind of how I picture it'll go.
Nice.
I watched this show called Pantheon.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of that?
No.
It was like an AMC Plus show. So like you have to have like the AMC Plus app to watch it. Maybe they played it on the AMC channel.
AMC like the movie?
The AMC like...
Channel.
Channel, like okay. Walking Dead, Preacher, stuff like right. That.
Okay.
And it's an animated show. And it's actually a lot like Arcadia. It's about like, they call it UI, like uploaded intelligence.
Oh.
And so...
Not user interface?
No, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
That's like, the dead name?
Yeah. And so it's kind of like the early days of UI. Where it's like you can upload your consciousness to like the internet or whatever, but or like a server, but like uploading it like kills you. Like there's no way to like upload you and scan like all the neurons or whatever your brain without like dying.
Okay. Thing.
And there's like this girl and like her dad dies from like being sick, and then she finds out that his brain was uploaded later, and they're just trying to like figure all that out and stuff like that.
Mm.
I don't know. I heard about it on TikTok and I heard that it was like a top tier animated show. It was like pretty good, but like it has like 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Whoa.
95 audience score too.
Cool.
And so like this must fucking rule.
It's got a rule.
Yeah. It's got like Paul Dano in it.
He's great. Is he the dad?
No, he's like a kid.
Mm.
And there's like a lot of people in it, and it like looks good, like the animation looks good and whatnot. Yeah. And it's a little bit more of like kind of what we were wanting with like
Arcadia
superhero kind of stuff. Like okay. These are like powerful kind of people, you know?
Right.
It's kind of like an animated like Mr. Robot in
a
way.
Oh, I've seen previews of this.
Okay. So yeah, it's kind of like it, like when the Matrix was like first created is what it seems like.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. So pretty good. I mean. If that seems interesting to you, then give it a shot. But I wouldn't recommend it as much as the dude who recommended it to me kind of thing.
Okay.
Makes sense. I watched Companion.
The movie?
Yes.
With the Quaid?
With Jack Quaid.
Cool.
Good movie. If you're interested in it.
How'd you watch it?
Going blind. It's on Max.
Already?
Yeah, just went on Max.
Oh, cool.
I almost rented it, but it
came out like a month ago, I feel like. 2 months?
January?
Really?
I think it was January.
You had two movies come out in like a month?
Yeah, I think it was like back-to-back weeks.
That's cool.
Yeah, so I watched Novocaine when that's in streaming. Then I watched a movie called Den of Thieves. You ever heard of that?
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, the second one just came out this year. It's a Gerard Butler movie.
Oh, cool.
His character is called Big Nick.
He seems like a big Nick.
Yeah, he gained 20 pounds for this role.
Oh my God.
I'm like, really? Oh yeah. It's got like 50 Cent in it. It's got Ice Cube's kid in it.
Okay.
And it's Big Nick's like a part of like the LA Sheriff Department. And they're like trying to stop this like super heist team, like a bunch of like criminals that are all like ex-military and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really good. It's like just a banger dad movie, you know. A lot of shooting. It's like, it's very like smooth brain, you know, but it just kind of fucking rules.
That's funny.
Even Sarah liked it. I don't even know if she likes heist movies. I was like, do you like a heist movie? She's like, I guess. I'm like,
yeah, they're always a fun time. What are you talking about?
I don't know if she's like watched a lot, you know, to where she's like, oh, this is a heist movie kind of thing.
Mm.
So we'll watch the second one, because the second one's streaming too now.
Oh.
But it's fucking long. It's like 2:15, a little longer than it should be.
For a heist movie?
I feel like.
Yeah, it's pretty long.
Yeah, but it's a lot of fun. I recommend.
That's cool.
I'm
going to watch Sinners tomorrow, probably.
Cool, man. I'm jealous. I know it's possible for us to like leave, but I don't know if Sarah like would, you know?
Yeah, I figured you'd kind of be.
But she's like
here with the child for a little bit.
Yeah, she's like, we should watch Sinners. I'm like, it's in the theaters. She's like, oh, I thought it was like out. I'm like, no, we'd have to leave. Like, it came out in theaters today or whatever.
I'll go watch it, and then I'll come here, and then you go watch it.
Yeah,
but I'm gonna try and watch an IMAX. Did you see that Ryan Coogler video?
Where he's like talking about IMAX
for like 10 minutes, but it feels like 30 seconds because he's so into it.
I didn't watch it now, but I know it's a thing.
I like was vaguely aware of Sinners, and I'm like, this looks fun. And
a then, vampire movie, Nathan?
Yeah, I know. I don't know why I'm so psyched to see it.
I hear fucking rules.
I hear fucking rules too, but like just before everybody knew that it rules, I just saw that 10 minute video of Ryan Coogler explaining what IMAX means. And I appreciate that because he said it in a way that made me understand.
Yeah, I think it was filmed in IMAX.
It was filmed in like every possible way you could film something.
Yeah.
And I know what, like, why IMAX is cool now.
I like when Ryan Coogler, like, gets a dub, you know?
I know.
He deserves, like, all the dubs.
He, oh, yeah. I want to watch, like, all of his movies.
There's not a lot.
There's not, but.
It's just Black Panther and Creed and stuff.
And he had, like, a movie before those two things.
Oh, okay.
I forget what it's called. Anyway.
What are we gonna read next week?
Nathan, what are we gonna read next week?
Something shorter.
Yeah, definitely. So,
do we have something lined up because of the thing coming out?
No. Okay. So, what we could do is read like the Predator book next week, and then we'll have like 4 weeks, and we could do like a theme month if you want.
Okay.
Because we won't be able to have another theme month until like September.
Got it.
So do you want to do that?
Yeah, that sounds cool.
What theme month do you want to do?
Big robot.
Giant robo.
I think giant robot month would be cool.
Okay. Sounds good. That's what I thought you would say. So
well, what were the other ideas again? We have crime.
Crime books. We got
crossover.
Women's books, you know, like a like a Wonder Woman or Batwoman.
I'm just kidding.
We could do more war comics. We could do westerns. We could do Death Month. Death of Supes. Death of Wolverine.
That'd be kind of fun, too.
You'd have to come up with some other ones.
Nightcrawler died once. That was a big deal. Captain America died, too.
We could do Pet Month.
Oh, Pet Month would be good, too.
Do We Three, Man's Best, things like that.
Okay.
Valiant Month. Video game comics.
I think either Valiant or Big Robot Month. But I think Big Robot.
That's cool.
There's more exciting ideas in there.
More exciting than Valiant as like a publisher.
Maybe. I mean, Valiant. It's good, man.
Dang, I'm going to tag Valiant.
You should.
Anyway, cool. So Predator versus Wolverine is what we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a good idea.
Yeah. Sounds good. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, everybody. If this is your first time tuning in, thank you for checking us out.
Yep. Thank you. Let us know if there's a book that you like and you want us to read. Jerryrewardspod@gmail.com. Make sure we haven't read it yet. We've done 268 of these.
Yeah.
So if you have a gleaming recommendation outside of those 268, we haven't read a lot of good stuff, I don't think. not like, oh, this is my favorite book kind of things. You know what I mean?
Like, I kind of go through like a mini crisis when I think of like a book. I'm like, oh my God, how have we not done like an episode of that?
That's what I'm saying is like, there's a lot of those.
Like, if there's like a goated book that you think we should do, then definitely like write it down, because we could do like a just kind of a classics month kind
of
thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely. I agree.
But,
and we tried readerspot@gmail.com.
Like, comment, subscribe, link trees in the bio.
Yep. Find us on all the things.
And goodbye.
Bye.